Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks. It's New Year's Eve. What? Well,
it's the last day of this awful year, and as we know, everything will reset and it will come go back to normal. It'll be fine.
It's bring it on 2021.
Yes, it's like blowing the bottom of a cartridge and putting it back into the machine. That's what we're doing for 2021. It didn't quite work. It's all garbled.
We've been trying it since
click.
Because on New Year's Eve 2015, I did that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we got 2016. And then I did it. I did it again at the end of 2016. But, you know, this year, it's really going to work.
It's really going to work. Well, here's hoping. Mystery on the Rocks, welcome to the show where we drink cocktails, try to solve unsolved mysteries. I'm Mizzou Miles. With me, as always, is the amazing Suze Kempner.
The infected Suze Kempner.
The infected Suze Kempner.
The infected Suze Kempner is a terrible stage name.
Yes.
Appearing tonight.
And the amazing Chris Stokes.
Yeah. Hello. As far as I know, I'm pretty healthy.
I'm going to give you COVID over Zoom.
Do you know what? Even though you would have given me COVID, I'd be impressed if you could.
It would
do it
be
that
impressive,
way.
Wouldn't it? To be able to. It would be quite an impressive thing to be able to do, to pass it. Like the holovirus in Red
Quarantine.
Dwarf. Yeah.
Feels very much like also like a B movie. Like we've been watching quite a lot of crappy horror films.
Yeah.
And it feels very much like that kind of thing where it's like people are just told like, and then they're just like, and then they just die over Zoom. You're like, what? The whole film is set like this with the Zoom conversation.
Oh,
and
did you watch
dying.
That? Unfriended? Is that what it's
called? I didn't
see
that. No. I've heard of that film though, yeah. Similar premise.
It's really stupid. Yeah. There's bits like.
It's a hell of a way to stop being friends with someone, Suze. Have you heard of the film Unfriended? Hmm?
Have you heard of the film Unfriended, Masood? Yeah, well.
Well, hurry up and watch it, please. I've got something to say.
Give it a viewing and then don't get back to me.
Just immediately tomorrow, I'm like, well, I watched it, Suze. You're right. It was actually quite terrible. Oh. Yeah.
And I'm like, boo. But it's just me making the noise. I'm going, boo.
It sounds like she's hung up. Maybe I'll call her back. Hey, it seems we lost connection.
And you can still see me, and I'm going, this number is not recognised.
That's strange. They replaced the numbers not recognised woman with Suze's face.
I'll call her back. Anyway, Unfriended. Check it out, Mr.
Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Does anybody in the film, in the movie, hide their camera? Because there are some people on Zoom calls that don't like to be seen.
They just took their thing off.
In Unfriended, Masood, there's one character who is just like user unknown, and it's just a little blank, you know, like a Twitter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like a little silhouette. And they're like, who is that? Who is that? Anyway, it turns out it's a ghost of a girl that all the people in the video call taunted until she killed herself, and the ghost makes them kill themselves.
This is the thing, like, I'm not
like a Momo.
Like what?
Like, what was that? Do you remember that sort of, like, she was supposed to be haunted and it was a scary picture of this sort of, like, bird woman?
Oh, yeah, Momo, yeah. And it was just and it was a complete hoax.
Of course it was. But, like, everyone was going losing their mind. Like, kids are killing themselves over this.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember, I listened to a podcast about that. They were talking about that whole thing of Momo. And, there was another set of videos where, like, this clown would sort of turn to the camera and be like, kids, you should kill yourself.
Yeah.
And you were freaking out.
And it was horseshit.
And there's also those, like, this was about 4 years ago as well, 2016. What a terrible year that was. we'll never see the like again.
I'll never see the likes again.
There were literally killer clowns on the streets that everybody was.
Oh yeah, do you remember? Yeah,
was that thing in 2016? Killer clown people. Oh yes, no, I do remember this. Yeah, people were, they were afraid of people dressing up like that.
And it was basically people in costumes, yeah, dressed as clowns, running about. And people were going, it's very scary.
There's a lot of, it reminded me of like the Halloween ones. Where did you ever have these here where it's like, don't go trick-or-treating because people put razor blades and like apples or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, good luck. No kids eat fucking apples on Halloween. So you're wasting your time. You gotta put it in a Mars bar or something.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, like, an apple straight in the bin. The guy's like, oh!
Check the wrappers because there might be a little pinprick hole in there because people are injecting Mars bars with poison.
Yeah. Poison. Well, it all comes from that, the Tylenol poisoning, which we've discussed, haven't we? Didn't we?
We discussed it, but we never done an episode on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we mentioned it when we were talking about the monster with 21 faces.
That's right, yes. Yeah, yeah. I seem to remember it being, yeah. But people were injecting Mars bars with poison and like giving them out to kids. You just don't go to the creepy guy's house. Everyone knows because that's the person who's doing it. The person who's doing it isn't the nice person down the road. It's the guy's like, oh, it's the guy with one dog that he walks and it's really thin and he doesn't.
The one he's always trying to get kids to come and look at his ferrets.
Yeah.
Gladys, who lives at number 13. There's no way she's been like 87 years of friendly old lady act just so that she can poison kids.
Yeah, that's long game. That's a longest game.
Unless she's been killing them for years.
Not Halloween.
I've never heard a fly.
Halloween this year? No, 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 no. Halloween next year? No, 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 no. Halloween the year after that? I've been working towards this.
Oh my god!
Because the thing about that is, like, you've got to be pretty confident that you're going to be alive long enough to play this long con.
Because she can't die.
I think you would wait until you were really old as well, because she'd be there like, well, watch that, life in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. That's what she, like, she's just
do your
waiting.
Worst, lawman.
Yeah.
I really appreciate this woman's sass. You know what? You're off the hook. Pow.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. I was going to ask what you were drinking, and then I was going to follow it up very succinctly with cough syrup.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And then I decided to kill myself.
Oh, just like in Unfriended.
Yeah. You guys are bullies, okay?
Did you ask what I was drinking?
Yes.
Nothing, because it would be a waste of alcohol, because I can't taste anything.
So
tonight's drink is not happening. For this end, but next week, if I can't taste anything, I'll just like blend up some eggs or something. Mad Frangelico.
Just a glass of raw eggs, and you just like,
I've got raw and eggs then, and Frangelico. I can't taste it, so it's great.
Oh. And then you just like, then it cuts to you just running up a bunch of stairs and like celebrating. We're like, wow,
full lung capacity.
Stallone didn't direct the first Rocky, did he?
No, he was in it, wasn't he? He wrote it, and he's in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When he drinks all of those eggs, which it's real because it's all one shot, he cracks them, loads of them, and then just drinks them all down. If the director would have gone, great, okay, let's reset, we'll go again.
Oh, it turns out we weren't actually recording, so if we want to do that one again.
Raw eggs is a good way to get salmonella poisoning, so he's lucky he didn't.
Especially in America. Apparently over here in the UK, it's a little less likely.
They did something to the eggs, didn't they, to stop you...
To stop that from happening. I think they like...
They cast a spell.
Yes, over all of the chickens ever. They invited a warlock to every chicken factory.
That's really tickled me. Just like the farmer once a year is to get the wizard down. He's just coming down to put a spell on all the chickens.
Piggle, so piggle, wiggle, pop. None of these chickens. Disease will stop. Oh, right. That's really good.
That's it. They're all...
I don't understand.
Jesus.
Was that Alexa?
Yeah, it was my little...
Masood did a spell and Alexa was like, I've been summoned.
Hello?
No, Alexa, you're not a wizard who can stop eggs having salmonella.
That is a very fun idea. Like, comes down. Are you sure this is going to work? Don't worry, I trust this guy. It's all right.
And he comes down and he's like a proper... He's a little guy. He's 4'9". He's got a wizard hat and a long white beard, and he goes, I've come to put a spell
on all of the eggs. Okay.
And he's like, it's this farmer has to show him to where the chickens are. They're all just like popping about in a barn, and then they go outside. He gets them to come outside.
They look very unhappy.
And the farm.
I think maybe they should have a bit more leg room, don't you?
And the farmer's like furious because he's like, "I'm not fucking made of money, mate."
Yeah.
But then the wizard later that day goes to like a very nice organic farm, and he's much happier to put the spell on those chickens.
This is how you chicken should be treated.
This is how they should be.
I was at a farm this morning actually doing another job, and.
If you could just send the invoice to...
Can I ask you a question? If you can rid all the chickens of salmonella, could you cure COVID? Bye!
Like, and he, but he, yeah, he goes, bye. And he, like, a beam of light appears out of his feet and he goes...
Like Merlin when he goes to Bermuda.
Oh, this wizard is very magical, but his spells are limited.
Bye.
Bye. And he waves his wand.
What are you drinking?
What you got there, Chris? Look, a beautiful coloured amber drink.
Very nice. Conversely to Sue's, I'm drinking something.
Mm. Ooh.
This is called a Look No Hands.
Look No Hands.
It's rye whiskey, Cointreau, or orange liqueur of your choice. And it's IPA reduction.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So
it's
you
like
made
an
that
earthy...
today?
Yeah, take some IPA, reduce that down with some sugar.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Oh, so and bitters, and you need to put some bitters in it.
You've made beer syrup. You made IPA syrup.
That's and it's lovely.
IPA reduction, yeah.
It's not nice by itself, because you get that sort of like sickly sweetness of syrup with the bitterness of the IPA.
Yeah.
Don't drink it by itself, but it's lovely, isn't it?
That sounds incredible. Ooh. I wanted to make some beer syrup. I've been dying to make some. So I think that sounds really good, though. That sounds like a really nice drink. Where did you find that? Look No Hands. Where was that?
I went looking for a cocktail that had a name like that.
Right. Oh, you went name for, first is always
for
good.
Some reason. We'll find out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What are you drinking, Masood?
This is the way the light hits that makes it look sort of glow. It's not actually that bright.
It makes it look like a salmonella wizard has just left.
I wish.
It's no more salmonella. Oh, thank you.
He just flew past just as we started streaming. It was weird. And Masood saluted him. He was like, thanks, buddy. And
thanks. Every time you crack open an egg, a salmonella wizard gets his wings.
Every time a wizard blesses an egg.
But he has to do every egg individually.
Bing. Yeah, they're knackered, these egg wizards. They're called egg wizards.
So this is it's called an embassy. And we've got cognac brandy, rum, orange liqueur, half an ounce of lime, and a little bit of simple syrup, and then you shake it up. It is very nice.
It does sound good. I can't wait. I can't, I'll never again take for granted the ability to taste and smell when it comes back.
Yeah.
And then after one day, watch me just listlessly eating bread straight out of the bag.
The only thing Sue's can eat now is sort of like she buys super noodles, tears the packet open, gets rid of the sachet of flavour, and just bites into it like a brick.
Oh, yeah, just buys that.
Like drywall.
Ramen cake.
When it was about a week after the election in November, and I was on the live chat of a streaming news channel, and they were in the chat, it was all mad socialists, they were being really funny, and one of them said, talked about Mike Pence, and someone said, Mike Pence can't have mayonnaise, he finds it too spicy.
I knew somebody that found pizza too spicy.
That's fucking
And just like just margarita pizza, not even a hot pizza.
That's mental.
And we were in this and I found it out about him after I'd known him for a while, and he went, yeah, pizza's too spicy for me. And I was like, pff. And then the person that we were with, we were in a pub, and it was around Christmas actually, and then somebody
a child when you were a child.
No.
Because that's even more spittable. That's a spit take right there.
There was somebody at the bar who didn't know either of us. I overheard him say,
yes.
Oh, I don't like pizza's too spicy for me. And this bloke just went, you gay or something, mate.
That's not how this works at all.
No.
He went, yes, but that's got nothing to do with this.
Well, Chris, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, it's the strange case of Gary DeVore.
Ooh.
So our Hollywood series is rapidly hitting the end of the 20th century. We're in
1997.
Gary DeVore, he was an American screenwriter. Mm-hmm. He was best man at Tommy Lee Jones's wedding.
Oh!
Gary DeVore went missing. He was writing a script and he'd been researching it. It was about military operation in Panama, the invasion of US invasion of Panama.
Yeah.
And then it was to do with a military bank robbery that was tied up with this thing. But he was researching it and it was kind of loosely based on fact. And okay. He'd gone for a drive inexplicably in the middle of the night and vanished. He vanished.
Okay. Oh,
does that still happen, do you think? I mean, in saying that, I do see a couple of flyers every now and again of someone being like, this person's missing. I'm like, oh, shit, people just... You'd think that, like, you know, we've got so many cameras and all... You think in our modern world with all our cameras that people just go missing. So
it is amazing, isn't it? I think the statistic is pretty high.
When he vanished, he didn't show up where he was meant to that night. He had called his wife, Wendy. It was his fourth wife. His first wife was the widow of Nat King Cole.
What?
Yeah. So he...
Come on, you got to have some serious game if you land Nat King Cole's widow. That's... You got to be fucking hitting hard, man.
So he was born in 1941. So he was 55 when he went missing because it was before his 56th birthday. When he didn't show up where he was meant to, a lot of people that knew him tried to trace movements, and they went out on the road from the last call he'd made to Wendy.
Yeah,
and couldn't find anything at all.
When he said where he wasn't where he was supposed to, I imagine they had a surprise party for him, and they're just waiting for hours. They're just like, where the fuck is he? Come on, surprise! Oh, it's just his wife. He's gone missing. Oh, that one person hasn't heard that surprise. Oh.
So he went missing in June 1997, and he was driving. It was in the middle of the night. He was driving from Santa Fe to Santa Barbara.
His two mistresses. That's so stupid. That's a very stupid joke.
It was like media speculation. It became like a big story because this scriptwriter had gone missing. He'd been working in Santa Fe where he had an office. He was trying to finish the script. He finally did finish the script. He decided to drive home through the Mojave Desert. His wife, Wendy, was waiting for him in Santa Barbara. When she didn't hear from him, she gave him a call at about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
He answered, but he wasn't very specific on his location, and this was the last time she spoke to him. And then he vanished. Sure. Vanished without trace. But that's not what... That's because this is a weird one. It's the sort of thing where you think, how does this happen in this late in the
20th century?
Yeah, in 1997.
And he obviously had a cell phone, which is or a car phone. Do you remember that being a thing?
Car phone.
Yeah. Anyway, get this. A year later, in 1998, mm-hmm. his car was discovered submerged below a bridge in Palmdale, there's a bridge that goes over an aqueduct.
Yeah.
And he was submerged in that, in the aqueduct.
Jesus, so the car, him, he was in the car.
He was in the car. But what was weird about this is that was one of the places that people had searched when they'd retraced steps.
Ooh.
Where he would have driven. Okay. And they were like, well, it wasn't there a year ago. And when they found the car submerged, the body was in there. His laptop and his gun were missing. But something else was missing as well. There's something that, because it would have been like a year afterwards, decomposition and all of that. But there is one way of identifying Gary DeVore. Which is, he had a deformed little finger on one of his hands. Guess what else was missing from the body?
His finger.
His deformed little finger?
Both hands.
Jesus Christ. What?
They took his hands.
They took his hands. Because a scriptwriter needs his hands. That's what he needs.
What does he need? His hands and his brain and his gun.
And his gun. So we're going to take all of them. Do we really take the hands if we've killed him? No, we're gonna take the hands.
It gets weirder because... The way that
that's normal. That's regular.
Okay,
that's just
it gets weird. Base level. The way the road was laid out, right? It sort of like split into two with a gap in the middle that went down to the aqueduct, down to the water.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
So
right.
He would have had to go through a barrier driving the way he was driving on that.
Like an off ramp for a motorway.
Yeah, and there was no damage. There was no damage to any of the barriers, which means he went past it. This is assuming he's driving and drove in there, but he's driven past that gap over the bridge. He's turned around and driven the wrong way to go down where there is a gap.
Right.
Oh. You see what I mean? So, yeah. And then just gone down the gap into the water. Now, that means it would have been into oncoming traffic. In the middle of the night, the headlights of the car had been turned off. So he would have done that in the dark.
Right.
So that none of that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Then, when they said, oh, well, isn't it convenient that his hands, which could have helped identify him, aren't We're there.
Missing.
Lo and behold, they found hand bones in the car.
Oh,
and they sort of like said, oh, well, it's because the fish could have nibbled.
Well, that was my first thought.
And whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, they found finger bones in the car. Those finger bones were 200 years old.
What are you fucking what?
What the fuck is happening?
Gary was not 200.
200 years old?
He was 50.
He was 50.
I think I might have a theory, guys. The man is a mummy. They've like
he's
that,
an old, that, old guy.
The Persian
case we did a while ago where they with the fake mummy. Those guys, those guys are back. So, and
hey,
they
and she was killed that year, they reckon.
That's they do, yeah, you're right. So that once the police retrieved the vehicle, the laptop containing this script that he was writing about military misconduct.
Masood, watch it. Okay, yeah, I get it.
So that was missing. His hands were missing and the gun was missing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And so this was considered really suspicious because the aqueduct had already been searched when the disappearance had initially been reported.
Bloody hell.
And it showed no signs of impact at the time. Police had concluded that for him to crash his vehicle in that location, he would have had to have driven 3 miles against traffic without being seen. And this would have been doubly difficult because the lights were not on.
Yeah. Mm.
So his murder has not been solved yet.
That is crazy.
That's fucking nuts.
This shit is bananas.
B-A-A-N-A. Yeah, you know how to spell
ananas.
B-ananas.
That means pineapple. So that's crazy.
That's
Chris,
fucking nuts.
What happened? Come on, own up. What did you do?
What did I do?
Where were you in 1997?
There is a film, it's a documentary about this case, because there was a guy who became obsessed with it and wanted to solve it. He was a journalist. He's called Matthew Alford. This film, The Writer with No Hands, followed him, and it's already like his relationship's fallen apart because he's so obsessed with this case.
Oh, God.
Really?
He's had a cease and desist from the CIA because this is before the film even began filming. And the reason for that is because he wrote a book about how the CIA influenced their own depictions in films and about how cinema is used as a military propaganda throughout the 20th century. It all makes sense. And like it was an interesting thing. I was like, oh yeah, because they have CIA advisors on the movies. There was one instance that he cites where they're shown using a bit of technology in a movie.
Yeah.
And apparently what had happened is that somebody had said to the CIA advisor, was like, do you really have these? And the CIA was like, no, but we want our enemies to think we do. So
the CIA is a very kind of, I mean, you have to remember, these are the people that concocted over 600 attempts on fucking Fidel Castro's life, one of which included an exploding cigar. So I think they got the writers of the fucking Looney Tunes in. And this is the CIA.
And it blew up and he had black dust over his face.
Yeah,
but the cigar was still in his mouth and he just went...
And then he pulls his beak around to his face, to front of his face.
Yeah.
And he says to the camera...
His beard.
I guess you know, this means war. And then he storms off. Boom, 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 boom.
It's really funny. Yeah, he's flat against the wall and as he moves away from the wall, it's a silhouette.
And he steals himself.
This film goes into a little bit more detail, talks to his wife Wendy a lot, or his widow even.
Wendy, that's from The Shining.
It is a crazy case.
It's bananas.
So the CIA are like, listen, we gotta fucking stop this guy because he's, I mean, not stop him. But
the idea is that basically they make no bones about it in the documentary. They say that the CIA had him whacked.
Right. They had him whacked and they put 200-year-old fingers in the car.
It's funny when people do talk about the government sort of getting people. And I kind of, on the one hand, I'm like, if the government were to do that, they could do it at any point because, you know, whatever, right? But it seems like every time they do whack somebody, they have this fucking bananas crazy assassination thing where it's like, well, the government got him. And then put, like you said, Suze, 200-year-old finger bones
Let's
in the car.
Let's
put
and some finger bones.
Cut off his hat. It's almost as if they're like...
The intern was in charge of sourcing the finger bones.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, how do we kill someone? I know. We'll cut off his hands. Why don't we just shoot him and put him in his car on the side of the road?
Yeah, could we make it look like he was carjacked or just held up in a store? Like, we could get actors to, you know, anything.
But like, no one will believe that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off his goddamn hands. We're going to shove him in under a bridge.
Which has already been searched.
Yeah. It's like, it feels like someone had an idea and then panicked and improvised the entire way through. They're like, oh, people are going to recognize his hands. Cut him off. Cut off the hands. Cut off the hands. That's a great idea. Oh, man, I'm glad I brought you, Marty. You're full
you're
of good
so
ideas.
Good. You're so on it. I was watching a thing today about JonBenet Ramsey, that poor pageant kid who was murdered in 96, Christmas 96, Christmas Day 1996. Her body was found all, you know, mutilated, and the parents rang the police, obviously, as soon as they woke up Christmas morning. She wasn't there, and they had a ransom note, and so many people say it was the parents that did it. It's like, well, then why did they write a fucking ransom note?
That makes no sense.
It did nothing. The ransom note put nobody off the scent, you know. That would have thought there was absolutely nothing to suggest that the family did it. But it's because it's unsolved. It's because it's an unsolved murder with something weird involved that people just
think. Yeah, exactly. When things like like this, if it's unsolved and there's loads of curious little details,
that's it.
Like, paranoia runs away with you. It's like, oh my God, it was the CIA. I mean, it is, and it fits, that idea fits, that he was writing a film that was going to expose all of this.
Right. Yeah.
And then the laptop went missing. He went missing. A year later, he shows up. He's got no hands. That could have identified him. The car wasn't there when they initially did an original search when he went missing. It's like, it all seems suspicious. But there are other explanations possibly, aren't there? If you're interested, you might be thinking, Gary DeVore, did he write any movies that I know? Maybe he did. Passenger 57.
The one with Wesley Snipes.
And then a couple of Van Damme movies. Time Cop. He wrote
Time Cop. Wow.
Sudden Death.
Yep. These are classics. These are classic films. The Time Cop, especially. If you've seen the Time Cop TV series, don't. It's no good. It feels ready for a series. The idea, like, of course, going back in time and being a police officer, it's very bad. Time Cop is also of this very fun strain of 90s, and I think some 2000s films, in which about halfway the end of the film is usually set in, like, a warehouse or a house or, like, a very kind of low-key ending. And you're like, well, why is that? Because halfway through the film, there's usually a helicopter chase or a car chase or something that has blown the entire film's budget. They're like,
right,
we got to end this film somewhere. The end of Time Cop is literally in the house that the Van Damme character, you know, is in the 90s. And you're like, weren't they in a factory like a half an hour ago and they were traveling through fucking time with these weird machines? No, we spent all the money. We gotta finish the film in a house.
It's just in a house now.
And it's raining. In a house.
What if the ending takes place in a movie studio?
That's a great idea. I love this idea. It's like the end of the film The Recruit. It's like, we've spent a lot of money on Al Pacino, and yes, Colin Farrell isn't exactly a big name right now, but he will be, so he's starting to demand more money. And, you know, there's an entire sequence where we have a helicopter that we don't use, but we have to pay for the day to have it. So we're going to end this film in a warehouse. In a warehouse with Al Pacino talking, and then he gets shot. That's the end of the film.
He also, I think this was like his big break, big movie script writing break. He wrote The Dogs of War.
You mean Time Cop wasn't his big break?
Time Cop was 3 years before he vanished.
Oh my God.
The Dogs of War.
Okay. Dogs of War, the Christopher Walken film, 1980. So he had, like, a degree of success. He was making his money from script writing.
Yeah.
Mates with Tommy Lee Jones and all of that. So
went to his wedding. Went to his bloody wedding, mate.
Best man, mate.
That would be crazy to... that someone in the world Tommy, like, you'll look at, they look at their phone and it lights up and it says Tommy Lee Jones, and they pick up and they're like, all right, mate, that's what he had.
That's what it's like being friends with a big star like Tommy Lee Jones.
You just look at your phone all of a sudden and it says, like, yeah, Tom Hanks. All right, I've got to take this.
Hey,
hang on a minute.
Sorry, hey, it's Hanks.
It's Hanks. Hey, T-Dog, how's it going? That's what I call Tom. So this guy, yeah, he wasn't a nobody. He wasn't like, and I don't, okay, actually, I want to retract that, actually. He wasn't like some of the people we talked about before that were about to break big or were like just starting out.
No,
in the,
it was definitely, you know, his job.
And this is probably why a lot of people feel like he was kind of got by the CIA or whatever, because like he was known enough and was doing enough work that they're like, we got to keep an eye on this guy. Because he might find out about our Time Cop program. I mean, he's already written a film about it.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if they could, they absolutely would have
a time cop division.
Well, I'm gradually coming up with a theory of what happened.
Oh.
A time cop did it.
What happened is Van Damme traveled back in time from the future.
That would explain it. That would explain it. I did it. I dumped the car. Did you dump the car in 97 or 98? 98,
oh,
why?
98.
Oh, I am so, you know, I don't even know where I am half the time.
And
I'm
he's like,
time cop, I don't know what's going on.
And he went, but I got the hands from 1798. And they're like,
of course.
That's
going
to really keep them guessing. That's going to really.
What do we do with these hands? Stop slapping me with the hands.
Oh, I'll take him. And then he's like, he just throws him through. I haven't seen Time Cop, but I imagine it works like this. He's like, he blows on the hands, he goes, and he goes 2036, and he throws them, and they fly through.
And they fly through time. Yeah. I want that version of the movie to come out. I feel like that would be a better film.
Basically, they have a wizard to know when to
to bless the hands.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you want these 200-year-old hands?
He's
to match.
Like, normally, I do eggs.
No, normally, I'm the egg guy.
So there we go. We've solved the case. Case closed.
Cool.
A time cop did it.
It was a time cop.
And he press ganged a wizard into helping.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Like, that is pretty much the everything.
The top lines of it. Yeah.
And it's gotcha. and it's like, you know, nothing really. There is one. There are a few other things that happened. One of them.
Oh, your drink makes sense now, by the way. I just realized.
That's why I called it.
Oh yeah.
The documentary is sort of like, well, we were talking to this one guy who was like a friend of his, and he was like, I'm going to keep digging for you. I know, because it was this self-funded documentary. They were in LA for 2 weeks. That's all the money they could do.
Oh,
Jesus.
Wow. That's like they're in a time cop.
Yeah, it does end in his house, actually. But what was I saying? Yeah, so they're talking to somebody in LA, and the bloke is like, I know you're going to go back, but don't. I'm going to keep digging. I promise you. You know, just give me time. I'll be able to find out what happened. It comes up as a caption in the end that he died in a freak accident.
The guy who was looking,
the guy who was digging, he died in a freak accident.
Oh Christ!
Not long afterwards.
No.
Yeah, and honestly, the film's really good at doing that to you because you're like, oh my God, that's what a coincidence.
Yeah.
And then I googled it, and eventually I did some digging, and I found out.
And then Chris just gets murdered right now.
And you think, oh my God, a freak accident. The CIA must have engineered it. He choked on a free sample of like confectionery or something in a shop.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Oh no! Right. I mean, that is a freak.
Is this like when George W. Bush choked on that pretzel, and my boyfriend at the time was like, "We don't know who placed that pretzel." You're like, he choked on a pretzel because he was eating one and he choked on it. Yeah. Shut up! It wasn't Al Qaeda who gave him the pretzel.
The pretzel. He choked on it because every now and again you behave like a 6-year-old when you're eating. And
yeah,
you eat too quickly.
Especially
and
if you're George Bush.
You know,
that particular boyfriend. I'm thinking now, like, I bet he's a 9/11 truther.
And oh.
I wouldn't be shocked if he was. I bet he is. I bet he's got all cut. I think he's probably quite into QAnon.
Yeah. That's so, I love that, like, that's a, yeah, but who placed the pretzel there?
Who placed
there?
The pretzel?
Which is the weird, catering guys? I don't know.
Yeah,
the
like,
people who work there.
Oh, you can probably ask for anything in the White House and get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can. I watched a video on a White House chef. You can get anything you want there, okay? Anything. You want a pretzel at 2 a.m? It's done.
Can you get KFC with McDonald's fries?
You bet your bottom dollar you can. And you don't have to drive for it either. Unlike me.
Yeah, go
like
get
an
it.
Yeah.
Just think, I feel like in 3 weeks,
oh, no,
Donald Trump
fries.
Won't be able to get just KFC delivered. Sorry. It's
oh,
just...
No.
Well, I mean, he'll still live somewhere. He could get it delivered somewhere.
But... He could just make a call now. And now he'll have to call KFC.
It sounds like there's a lot of stuff that stacks up to point towards the theory of it being this crazy thing.
Yeah.
But okay, much so like then, a lot of cases we have where it's like, no, it's just, like, the hands thing is weird. That's all it is. It's just a weird thing
yeah,
that happened.
Yeah, but also that is so weird, there must be
it. Is very
more
weird.
It.
It's very weird enough to go, that's weird and we should probably, there's ooh, something there.
What about...
And the hand fetishist came along and was like, I need these
well,
hands.
No, what about if, you know, the fish ate... They will eat your extremities first, like fish and like water turtles and stuff. They'll eat
yes,
the extremities first.
Soft flesh. Yeah.
Yeah, so they would like eat the flesh around your hand. What if it was a magical fish that swapped? The fish was like, thank you for these new hands. We should replace these old hands. Where were the old hands found?
They found
in the back seat.
Ah, what
oh,
they do
see,
there?
That's weird.
What
that's
they do fucking there?
Well, and they weren't. They weren't whole hands.
Yeah,
okay.
And what is weird about it is that they didn't show up initially because it was originally reported that there were no hands found in the car, and they started saying, oh well, fish don't need to eat a whole fucking finger; they just need to nibble away ligaments and they'll float off.
Yeah,
it's like,
right,
that's
yeah.
fair enough. That's fair enough. And then they found, oh no, there are finger bones. Found them in the back seat of the car, and that people are pointing to that being like a reaction to them going, isn't it convenient that there are no hands when that could have positively identified him because of his deformed finger?
Right. Yeah.
If you don't want him to be identified, just take the body.
Yeah, burn it somewhere. Yeah. Also, yeah, they did identify him.
Yeah. So
like, we
exactly,
know who
yeah.
he is. It was yeah. it was it's
and then,
what about his teeth? I've already got the hands. What else do you want me to do?
I'm new. Well, the thing about the hands is that then it showed up. They said, oh, we know we found the finger bones. But it was a second autopsy requested by Wendy DeVore.
Yeah.
Where the guy said, these finger bones are 200 years old.
Yeah. Do we know whose fingers they belong to?
No.
Who they are? Oh, okay.
No. But there's nothing to say. I mean, like, as we were talking about it, people will go, oh, my God, this all stacks up and it's weird and it must be a conspiracy. Mm. And I'm like, I'm not a conspiracy believer. I also wouldn't rule out the fact that he was done in for something he knew because of the fact that he was researching and digging too deep. But you would think, you would hope, that the people whose job is national security wouldn't fuck it up like this.
Yeah.
You know, stacks of coincidences is what makes things unsolvable.
Yes.
Because everybody tries to link them and it doesn't work,
yeah.
it doesn't fit.
Pepe Sylvia.
So the finger bones... And I mean, this is a stretch, but what is there such a thing as a stretch in this case? Because what are the alternatives? What if researching these crimes, he'd amassed a collection of all sort of weird artifacts, and including 200-year-old finger bones for some
yeah.
reason
yeah.
that were on the back seat of the car?
Just some old
yeah.
hands. He just got some old hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he kept making yeah. jokes about old. He's like, I'm a little bit of an old hand at this. And to himself as
like,
he's driving.
He's disgusting. He
and he lost concentration
yeah.
doing a Yui.
He's like chuckling, and then it like when he doesn't realize he's driving the wrong way, and then it like. It dissolves.
With his lights off.
It dissolves and it's a mile and a half later and he's like still going, old hands.
Whoa! And then just, yeah, just...
and as the car's filling up with water, he's like, his hands have blown off and he looks at his stumps and goes, oh.
It's a horrifically comic ending for a poor ending for
what
this
a way
guy.
To go.
For the writer of Time Cop.
For the writer of Time Cop. Who would have thought the writer of Time Cop would have gone like this?
when DeForest woke up that morning, he was just an ordinary screenwriter. He didn't realize his hands were going to go back in time 200 years and then go back forward and then end up on his backseat.
End up on the backseat.
It's just some honest time traveller who's sourced the owner of the finger bones and they're like, I'm going to put them back where they
belong. Back in their rightful place.
They're like, DeForest was just an ordinary egg wizard.
Until he got sanctioned by a time cop to transport some hands 200 years into the future.
He without his hands and with many eggs to bless, who'd know what would happen next? God, place your hands on my... And that's the trailer.
I guess...
It's like featuring the famous song, Put Your Hands on the...
I guess that's what they're talking about when they say put all your eggs in one basket. And then that's the closing line.
All right, yeah. Out of his shell and into your hearts and off of a bridge.
I guess you got to hand it to him. Summer 2021. Oh, man.
It's called Dead Writer.
We literally spent all of our budget on the script. We have no... We've run out of juice.
Yeah, we're really sorry. You spent money on this script? Yeah. Well, we spent money on takeout while we were writing it.
Starring Tommy Lee Jones as Gary DeVore.
Tommy Lee Jones is like, it just cuts to him. Like,
just
Tommy Lee
crying
Jones
the whole way
to. I didn't want to do this. I want no part of this.
Let's say you'd think that the CIA wouldn't fuck it up anywhere near as much if they were trying to make this look like Gary DeVore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But someone, an amateur might fuck it up. And what if Gary DeVore faked his own death?
Oh.
Yeah. The hands part is a big part of how he... Oh, as in he faked his death and then he just found someone,
car.
Chopped off their hands. Chucked a body in a car so people throw him off the scent. Oh, okay.
And he's like, I'll disappear first. And then after about a year, people are still looking for him. And he thinks, people are always going to look for me unless I turn up dead.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he doesn't think that it'll look weird with all the driving the wrong way down the motorway and why the barriers are intact and all of this.
Sure.
And the missing hands and stuff.
Yeah, because... Because Wendy was his fourth wife. Mm. She already had kids from a previous marriage. Mm. And he was very close to her daughter, his stepdaughter.
Okay.
When she graduated, somebody at the university came over to her mum and said, just so you know, there was a phone call earlier from a man who just kept asking if your daughter had graduated today.
Okay.
Graduated from law school. It was very insistent. And I said, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know because it was a bit strange. And Wendy DeVore now thinks that maybe he was calling the university to check to see whether she...
Well, he was identified, though. His body was identified by what? Do we know? At the coroner's office. Was it a dental
records?
Well,
I suppose...
I imagine it would be dental records.
Yeah, this is the thing. I don't think somebody would do a good enough job to say, well, these finger bones are 200 years old, and then say, don't know who the person is then.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is what I'm like, because that's a very compelling thing, the idea of the phone call with the daughter.
Yeah. Water does decompose bodies faster than air.
Okay, right.
So if it was in the water for a long
time... Hang on, let me write this down. Let me get my notebook out.
Yes!
He's got his
stone again! Yeah, so I think being submerged underwater, then the body would have decomposed quite a lot. Beyond recognition, I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
But probably enough that fingers could float away.
Yeah.
I mean, or float in. They've been helped along
Chris,
by
Chris, I didn't know you were a scientist.
So weird. The idea of him faking his death is interesting, but I personally am not convinced. But I'm
not convinced by any of the theories. Because there's always something then that it doesn't explain.
Yes.
Like, that's why it's a good case. Because it's like, okay, this, and this. Yeah, but what about that?
What about that, yeah.
Like, there's always one thing where the theory doesn't fit.
Yes.
So.
And it feels, and I think, like, not disappointingly, but, like, the thing of, like, I mean, our theory of the time cop, you know, stuff is as likely as most things in it. Because it's like, what's stopping somebody from traveling back in time and cutting off his hands and then throwing them 200 years into the past and then somebody returning them? Nothing, really, because it's as likely as the CIA getting him because he got too close to...
Yeah, Oliver Stone, obviously, would be like, yeah.
But which is weird because he's you know, he did that film Nixon where he, like, basically, it's like, why haven't the CIA gotten him?
Well, this is the other thing as well. So the documentary, The Writer With No Hands, basically the angle is he wasn't flattering the CIA... or the American military, or even the American nation in this film.
Yeah.
Because the film is all about how they were going to steal a load of stuff. And apparently what they stole, because no one read the script, it went missing.
Mm. Right.
But from conversations that he was having with people, it was this idea that the reason that they invaded Panama anyway was because... do you all know about the invasion of Panama, like in 1990?
Vaguely.
I think it was 1990, or was it 89? Mid-December to late January 1990.
Okay.
So it was December 89, January 1990. And it was because... So it was Noriega, I think.
That's right. I was about to say Noriega. Yeah.
He was the de facto leader of Panama. Apparently he had hard evidence of a child abuse ring within the American government.
Noriega did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently the script was trying to
this
steal
is
that back.
QAnon again.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun... I quite like a fun kind of... It's sort of like, what's that?
You're going to say you like a fun paedophile ring suit?
No, ooh. I like a fun heist, but then also...
I wouldn't want to be in a paedophile ring that would have me as a member.
And then the masseuse... goes, so, good night. And he time cops his way out of there.
Okay.
He leaves like an egg wizard. Bye.
Bye. And just fly up.
Like Poochie.
Just like several frames of animation.
Masood died on his way back to his home planet. And then I go, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm friended.
It worked. Because what was it? The Bank Job. What's that film with Jason Statham where it's about the photos of Princess... I forget who it is, but it's like it's very compromising photos of a royal... In something like that. And so it's like, it's very much that kind of, that film feels very much that kind of thing. I was like, oh, we're going to get a bunch of like cool, like a Dirty Dozen style fucking team of people together to steal this pedophile ring evidence or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem is that the evidence is, you know, whatever it is that they're stealing, in this case, pedophile ring, it's like, yeah, you can't really kind of have a fun spin on that, can you? It's very...
No.
Do you want to know something else the CIA could do instead? Stop the movie being made.
Yeah, well, just go, we're not making this movie.
Yeah, or hide the evidence that made it look that way.
Yeah, exactly. If it were true and DeVore was like onto something, he's not an investigative... He's not going to blow this wide open. No. He's writing a movie.
He's making a movie.
They could easily... They could just say, oh, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
And then if he starts shooting his mouth off, going, oh, no, it's based on facts and I've seen evidence, people would go... He's a crazy person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the CIA could let that play out.
They'd be like, tinfoil hat people going, yeah, exactly, see, exactly. But there are for everything.
Yeah.
In the same way...
strange that...
With any actual true story thing, I'm like, yeah, but this is a film, so most of it's probably been fucked around.
I buy it absolutely, no matter what it
100%,
is. 100%. I'm like, I know what happened. Truth is stranger than fiction.
But this, exactly, as you were saying, Chris, it's like it's very much this thing of like, if they just really, it strikes me as odd that the CIA are very, if that was the case, the CIA would be like, well, we just got to kill him. Be like, why don't we just ignore it and not pay any attention to it?
Or, and no one will middle ground, we can stop the movie game.
Well, if they're that powerful,
yeah. Yeah, if they're that powerful.
Hey, exactly. Hollywood, don't make this movie. We'll make it worth your while. Oh, in what way? Here's some money. Okay, cool. That's all we were really interested in anyway.
Yeah, yeah. We'll buy out the movie. Yeah. This is the movie. Best case scenario, projection. This is how much it would have made. Yeah. Have it.
Yeah.
Or like, even if they...
Where's this money coming from? The taxpayer. They don't give a shit about this.
So let's say they cancel the... They put the kibosh on the movie. Like, that movie's not being made. Mm. Yeah, result, victory. DeVore is like, no, I'm going to tell this story. He starts mouthing off about what the movie would have been about and about all the stuff he's found out. He looks like a guy bitter that his movie didn't get made.
Yeah.
Like, this is a strategic victory for the CIA or for the American government, whoever's pulling the strings.
Yeah.
There's no need to go and kill the bloke.
No.
Yeah.
It feels like, and we'll get rid of all of our problems. I don't think we'll get rid of... Yeah.
There was other stuff on his laptop, which this movie, the documentary, The Writer With No Hands, suggests that there was other stuff on his laptop other than the script.
But we'll never
know.
The
evidence that the script, that, yeah.
Well, his research is what you're saying. It's like, oh, he found out.
That's what research was the word I was looking for. Thank you, Masuda.
His stuff. The other guys, it was stuff.
Yeah, you know, his things.
His stuff is bobbins and gubbins.
when you're going out and you're looking stuff up and then you're collating it together, wholesomely in like a big file, and you're searching for stuff and you're re-getting it. I don't know what it's fucking called. But like, yeah, it would just, if they're worried about just like erase his laptop, get someone into like, when he sat at a cafe and he goes to take a piss, someone comes along, erases everything on the laptop, and then he comes back and he's like, oh, my film's gone. And then that's
Yeah, he comes back and he's like, were you watching my laptop? You said you would. And she's like, yeah, sorry, it got taken from right under my nose. And then she leaves the cafe. And the camera just follows her with like music, and then she just throws it off the viaduct.
Well, I don't know what happened to it. I guess we'll never know. And she like turns to the camera and like winks, like, and then the fucking iris shuts, and then that's it.
And then you hear, "Put your hands up."
Here's the other thing, right? The CIA are like, oh, we don't want this movie getting made, so we're going to kill the writer. Yet they let the documentary The Writer With No Hands get out there.
Yeah.
They filed the cease and desist and all that stuff. You know, it's like, it's very strange.
They told Matthew Alford to stop.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, there are literal QAnon people in Congress. They got elected to Congress.
Whoa.
Trump supporting QAnon supporters who hate the CIA. Like, Trump's done nothing but slag the CIA off for years. Literal QAnon people in Congress, and the CIA hasn't killed a single one of them.
Yeah, and you know, if they have this power, they could. They could just,
if they're that powerful, yeah.
The Writer With No Hands obviously then did that thing about a little bit dishonestly about, and then he died in a freak accident.
Right, and it doesn't say
it's
what
like,
it was.
Yeah, he choked on a free sample somewhere. There is also another guy they talk to who is called Haskell Wexler.
That is a fantastic name. I feel like we need to have a board of great names that we rank, because that's fantastic.
Yeah, we should have done that. We go back and listen to all of the great names from the Hollywood series. Haskell Wexler was a cinematographer. He's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Get me Haskell Wexler. That's what that name is.
Now get this. Not long after they filmed The Writer With No Hands, he also died.
What?
In his sleep at the age of 93.
Yeah, that's
coincidence.
Exactly. 100%. You can make anything out to sound suspicious, can't you? If you miss out a few of the details. The problem is that this case has got so many details and they don't all fit. So people,
and the human brain, like, we look for patterns. It's why we see faces in inanimate objects and that kind of thing. It all comes back to that. So yeah, we do.
We structure our days episodically. That's
And like, the human body has no understanding of what a year is. Yet we build our year. Like, Christmas is so useful as an anchoring point for us.
It's also no coincidence that it happens around about the midpoint of winter.
Exactly.
So it's very much just a random assortment of events that we just go like, well, there must be something here, because if we really sort of gave in to the absolute chaos of everything, we'd probably crumble. It's just too much.
If we actually look at it, because we are in danger of just going, well, we don't know what happened, but it wasn't the CIA. And it's like, well, what do we think happened? Like, why did he drive the wrong way down a motorway with his lights off?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to they hit would that gap, because find it a year later. I don't. That doesn't.
That is strange.
It's very odd.
Yeah. When they have,
but just because something is unexplained doesn't mean it is like something insane went on.
No, it just looks.
Yeah, weird. It's like a UFO. UFO is an unidentified flying object. Doesn't mean it's an alien ship.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. That said, I think it was aliens.
There is something else, which is that we've had this on the podcast before, where the police aren't always great at their jobs.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, stupid.
So, like, when they went looking, when he went missing. What if they missed the car?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very likely they could have missed the car. Because, like you said, the decomposition, it's very likely it was just there for a fucking year.
Yeah.
They just didn't see it. This is a tricky one. Because I reckon he did. I reckon he wasn't done in by anyone.
Mm.
The Well, he might have been. The hands thing is a bit odd. But I think... This is the thing. When you say missing his hands, or at least I assume, it's just stumps. But but it could be like you're saying missing hands, like all of the skin from his hands, all of the flesh, all of the soft tissue is gone, is probably what is likely. And so if you, and then with that, the water, the bones have floated away. And so, yes, they're stumped.
Especially if the ligaments have been nibbled, like the joints.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then so then all you have, you're left with stumps, not because they've been cut off, but because the soft tissue is gone and so they floated away. With the current,
I mean,
right?
and then we're looking at the idea that it's a coincidence that the deformed finger would identify.
About if there was another skeleton at the bottom of the?
I like
the,
how you
you pronounce skeleton.
Yeah, and the car
dislodged it.
It dislodged like, some of the fingers,
and they all flew through the window. Yeah, they went because they're the lightest bones, apart from the eardrum, smallest bone in the body.
I've got a feeling though that couldn't have happened because an aqueduct is an artificial.
Ah, yes.
So when it went into there, it was like, it's one of those concrete things underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, like in Greece when they drive down it.
Yeah.
All right. What if a time copped into the scene and went, I'm underwater. And they were holding vital evidence of who'd done Anne Boleyn in. Sorry, I don't know anything about history or time cop.
Yeah.
And,
well, I know who Anne Boleyn was done in by.
Who's that?
Very famously. Very famously, Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Do people know about this?
Yes.
Should we do a movie?
With time cops? Yes.
Right, okay. A time cop stops the death of Anne Boleyn, who was apparently murdered by King Henry VIII. Weird, I thought they were married.
It's the buddy movie of the summer.
Oh, my God.
Henry VIII and the time cop from the future sent back.
Run your fingers through my soul. All right, yeah.
I'm sorry, Henry. I've got to get back to the future, otherwise my wife will kill me. Just reform the church like I do. Oh, Henry.
I've got 99 problems, and six of them are my bloody wives. Or something.
So I reckon... Probably what happened is he crashed his car. He crashed his car, and either his laptop floated away or somebody just stole it. An opportunist was like, fuck, there's a fucking laptop in that car. I'm going to take that.
He did stop for gas, so there's a very real chance that while he stopped for gas, somebody looted his car.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe, I don't know, for whatever reason, gun. They were carrying 200-year-old finger bones.
That is weird.
The
finger bones thing is fucking nuts.
I mean, it is all a bit weird. The whole thing is like, because when you said, he just crashed his car, it's like, okay, how?
Yeah.
Because it didn't go through the barrier.
Yeah.
And then it went down just the right gap, which means it was deliberately driven down. But to do that, he would have had to have driven the wrong way down the motorway with his lights off.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been able to hit the right bit anyway. The whole thing is like...
Yeah, okay. Maybe he... CIA did do it. And then what happened was...
Because I think, like, if,
me too.
If the CIA did do it, I don't think they'd have made it look this weird.
No,
maybe. Or I think it's possible.
Unless it's
that
the other stuff that makes it look weird.
Here's the other thing, though. They might. Let's say they did it right, and they put him down the one way thing. They're like, well, we'll just do that. That's the only weird thing they did. And then the fish ate the hands, and all the other stuff happened. They're like, oh, fuck. We weren't intending the hand thing to happen. it just happened.
Yeah.
And like the only thing they did was like, oh, we'll drive him down this, or they open the barrier, put him down, you know, in the thing. And they're like, well, we'll do that. And then, we'll just leave it. No one's going to find him.
I guess they wouldn't have made the barrier look damaged, because then he would have been found straight away.
Yes.
So this is assuming they did do it.
Which I don't think they did either
so
way.
So then maybe anyway. It's a case of like, did they forget to put the lights on in the car when they dumped it? Or like, and then maybe they're like, oh shit, now the fish have got his hands. Fuck, they are going to think that we've cut his hands off so they can't identify him. Have you got any spare finger bones that we could just say we found?
Yeah, just drive down there. Just chuck some bones in the back of the car. Just chuck some bones in the backseat.
No one's going to be checking the bones. No one's going to be checking the bones. And then bloody busybody widow.
Yeah.
Who's like, can't just accept the fact that her husband's dead. She has to go poking about, get somebody to do an autopsy.
They should have got her,
like,
too.
Oh, no, those finger bones are 200 years old. Okay, well, let's assume that happened. Why did the CIA allow that to happen? Why couldn't they have just been like, no, this has been done. Done and dusted. Case closed.
Okay.
Oh. Can't look into it anymore. But they didn't do that. So, I don't know.
It's just weird.
If it was a conspiracy, it was a cack-handed one, and I would like to think that they'd be better at it.
Cack-handed? Ironically? Because
there weren't any. Hands off.
Because the hands were gone.
Hello, my name's Ironic Lee. My name's Mark.
Why did you say your name was Ironic Lee then?
Bye!
Off to bless some eggs.
Then I might go back to my time cop theory. That feels as plausible as any.
I think it was the egg wizard.
It was the egg wizard. Fair enough. Chris, what do you think?
For the sake of variety, this idea of... If the CIA engineered the scene, you think they'd have made it look better without all of these inconsistencies. Mm. I think he did it. I think he faked his own death and did it badly. Not thinking that people are going to look at the pattern of the road and be like, well, you did... Because he could have just gone, instead of 3 miles the wrong way, what if he just drove to the section that he wanted to do and just drove around it, then wanted to push the car in?
Yes.
And he'd sourced bones so that people would think.
But he just got like a plastic, one of those things from like that doctors use, is like a plastic set of bones, and it just sat
no.
In the
he
car.
Got a real one that was an antique from a museum, antique skeleton.
And he was like, "Yeah, I only need like a hand. I only like a hand to sort of like. Yeah. Where did the rest of the body go?
And it was just finger bones, so maybe he just needed like 2 finger bones."
Yeah.
And then he was like, right, okay, I'm going to put the car. Oh, no, I'm still in it.
Oh, yeah. No.
I know that sounds dumb, but like...
Like Brian Harvey when he ran over himself, remember that?
Yeah, or he timed the thing wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, and then he ends up dying.
Yeah.
Right, they,
I'm going to go with that.
Chris solved it.
Chris solved it. There you go. Very
Love
good.
It. Love it.
Yeah, so is there anything in the archives on this?
Yeah, there is. I'm not sure if I should be putting this out there publicly.
Yeah.
But I'm an avid almonds and champagne collector, obviously. Mm. Now, this film that DeVos was writing was there was a deal in place for the tie-in song with the movie. Guess who was doing it? Almonds and Champagne.
Oh, right. Yeah,
Almonds and Champagne.
It was on that laptop that that went missing.
Oh no.
Yeah. Guess who found the laptop? I'm a collector, so I found it.
Of course.
It. And this is a song. It's called Time Cop No Hands. it's called Time Cop No Hands.
Wow.
And frankly, it's amazing that I'm even able to dig it out for you because I've got COVID.
Yeah.
Here it is, everyone. Okay. For the first time, this is the first time the public will be hearing Time Cop No Hands.
Redacted by the CIA, redacted by the CIA, redacted by the CIA, redacted by the CIA.
Wow.
Whoa. I mean, the amount of truth bombs there.
It's all out there now.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Right the way from the Kennedy assassination all the way through to...
Everything's connected. I know, everything, right?
Yes.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That's...
It's crazy, isn't it?
Wow.
Well, you know, when I started collecting their stuff, for a moment did I think we'd solve everything, including who provided the controlled demolition for 9/11.
I know.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Thank you, Amundsen Champagne. Unfortunately, the CIA can't kill them because they are immortal.
They're time cops.
Amundsen Champagne are fucking time cops.
Thanks again. Firstly, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Listen, it's on New Year's Eve.
Mystery on the Rocks will now be entering its third year.
Its third year. Aww. Thanks for listening. You can find us all, of course, at MysteryOnTheRocks.rox on both Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on bloody Twitch, innit? Twitch.tv/MysteryOnTheRocks, where we'll be streaming on Thursdays, 8 p.m. You can also find us individually on the internets. You can find Sue's
twitter.com/SOOZUK and twitch.tv/SuesKempner, all one word.
And and Chris?
twitch.tv/Chris_Stokes, where I do stupid stuff like counting out sprinkles hundreds and thousands individually.
Have you done that?
I started it yesterday and bloody hell.
Oh.
I got to 5,000.
You counted 5,000?
I put that 5,000 back in the empty tub.
Yeah.
And I've barely done a fifth of the whole thing.
Oh, so there's a lot. There's maybe there are hundreds of thousands.
Or I'm on Twitter @_Chris_Stokes.
I'm @MasoodMilas on Twitter, and you can find me on twitch.tv/MasoodMilas, where on Tuesdays I make cocktails, and on Fridays I cook food. Have yourselves a happy fucking New Year.
2021, it's all going to be brilliant.
It's not like tomorrow's just another Friday. It isn't.
It isn't. It's
a new year.
Cheers, everybody. Have a good Happy New Year. Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.